Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to start off today with Sesame Street. Apparently, the first lady went on to Sesame Street, and YouTube has just, it's an interesting clip, and you could see it on YouTube, and we'll link to it from our show summary today at kgov.com. But you should be able to hear it right now. We'll play this for you. And then also today, if you can tell, I have a cold. And I hesitate to say that on the air. It should be obvious. But when I say it on the air, I could get 3 to 4 weeks of most of the people I interact with giving me their cold remedies and their families just... And I beg people not to do it. I beg them. And the more, because I waste major portions of my life. When you're a talk show host, you interact with, you know, at least, even if you're a lousy talk show host, you interact with at least a few thousand people a day. And so I could go a month wasting a major part of my life with people telling me which herbs and vitamins and medicines that I should be taking. So I beg people not to do it. And the more you stress it, the less effect it has. So I've taken to charging for services. I now charge $100 an hour to listen to people give medical advice and advice on herbs and vitamins. So $100 an hour. And so actually it's fun. But please excuse my raspy voice. But this might be a good time to call in so I don't have to talk as much. So we're going to go to Michelle Obama on Sesame Street. And then also, if we have the time, the government's role in marriage. What is the government's role regarding marriage? What is the government's proper role? There are an increasing number, it seems to me, an increasing number of conservative Christians, activists, who are saying, well, the government's evil, we know that, and the government has no role in marriage. And so two people, they say they're married, and then they're married before God. So is that the case? And so we have an article on this at our website, KGOV, KGOV.com. If you click on writings, and then you'll see, you scroll down the page, and you'll see the biblical role of government in marriage. So let's bring this up, right? Sesame Street, let's hear it.
Well, look who's here to push your husband's socialist healthcare agenda. Or maybe you're here to finally show us your husband's United States birth certificate.
No, Big Bird, I'm not.
That's because you can't. Are you absolutely sure he wasn't born in Kenya?
I'm sure, Big Bird.
That's not what the basket bunch says.
Yeah, your husband's a stinking liar!
We're gonna run him out of office!
That's cute. In a moment, I want to hear that again, all right? If you could get that ready. We have not watched Sesame Street at our home, at the Enyard home, Bob and Cheryl and our youngest boys who are still at home. We have 4 older boys and 3 younger ones who are ages 9, 11, and 13, and they've never watched Sesame Street. And we're strict, you know, we're strict as Christian parents. We monitor what our kids watch. And so years ago, Cheryl and I thought, you know, we're probably just being ridiculous. I mean, it's only Sesame Street. So we turned it on. We thought, let's just look at it and see how it is. You know, neither of us had seen Sesame Street. We had older kids who maybe saw little bits of it. We hadn't seen it in 15, 20 years, maybe 10 years. I don't know. And so we thought, all right, let's just turn it on and see what we've been missing. So we turn it on, and there is Big Bird and the other Sesame Street characters. and they're singing, "What is a family?" They say, "What is a family? Whoever is doing the family thing is a family," and it's a pro-homosexual, it's a homosexual segment, propaganda, to teach children that two guys and a dog are a family. And it's not a family. God created the family with a man and a woman committed to one another for life and the children they have. And then you have extended families with grandparents and grandkids and aunts and uncles. But God, just as God defined what a nation is, we read in the book of Acts, God defined what a family is. So here's Big Bird teaching kids this propaganda designed just for the kids, for their intelligence level at that age. Whoever is doing the family thing is a family. So as they grow up and they see their parents going to church where the pastor is warning about how destructive homosexuality is, and they say, well, Big Bird said that these two men, that they should be able to adopt children because they're a family. It doesn't matter that they're homosexuals. They're still a family. So we turned on Sesame Street for all of about 15 seconds. We turned it on. Here's Big Bird singing, "Who's a family? What's a family? Who's a family? Who's ever doing the family thing? They're a family." We turned it off and we said, yep, same old Sesame Street. So let's hear this again.
Well, look who's here to push your husband's socialist healthcare agenda. Or maybe you're here to finally show us your husband's United States birth certificate.
No, Big Bird, I'm not.
That's because you can't. Are you absolutely sure he wasn't born in Kenya?
I'm sure, Big Bird.
That's not what the basket bunch says.
Yeah, your husband's a stinking liar.
We're gonna run him out of office.
It's just, it's fun. It's fun. 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. I mentioned last week that I had a neat day talking to pro-life leaders from organizations around the country, including not only personhood groups, but groups that have been anti-personhood or sort of, you know, got a foot in both worlds, regulations which undermine the God-given right to life of the unborn child. And they sort of say they support personhood, but they never really had. And we got a commitment from one of the leading groups in the country that they would begin supporting personhood publicly, including on their website, including support for Mississippi's 2011 Personhood Amendment 26. Now that's significant news. So if this would be the latest of the pro-life industry of all the groups that have raised between them hundreds of millions of dollars on the abortion issue, and they have for the most part opposed personhood efforts, sometimes ruthlessly opposed personhood efforts, and they advocate only regulating abortion, and they promote only candidates who have exceptions. And that's it. Like George W. Bush, for example, they supported Bush because he has exceptions, like he's pro-life, except when he gives $1 billion to Planned Parenthood. And he's pro-life, except when he nominates judges to the Supreme Court because he promised he would ignore abortion when he does that. And he's pro-life except when he advocates aborting hundreds of thousands of children a year as he does by his own policies and procedures. And he's pro-life except when he became the first president to fund embryonic stem cell research. And he's the first president except, and it goes on and on. Just go to AmericanRightToLife.org/exceptions, and you'll see what it means when a politician says he supports exceptions. So this is a big deal that this a significant pro-life ministry is saying that they are going to openly now support the current personhood efforts. And by the way, there are now at least 20 states that are planning their petition drives to get personhood amendments on the ballot for 2012, at least 20 states, and that's thrilling. Only about half of the states enable citizen initiatives, only about half of the states. And the other half, you can't do that. You only have a legislative effort or advocating a federal personhood amendment in the other states. So the fact that we have at least 20 states now planning to launch with sponsors and organizations and plans in place to launch petition drives to get personhood amendments on the ballot around the country, that is an extraordinary accomplishment from 2008 when Colorado was the first state to force a ballot, a statewide ballot on the personhood of the unborn child. So the momentum is significant. So that's one pro-life organization. I had mentioned last week, in one day, I got to speak with the leaders of four different groups, and I left out a fifth group because this was not a leader that I spoke with, but I want to let you know a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes. We got a call from a staffer at a major pro-life organization. And this staffer, I won't give his name, but he said this. He said, I'm working for this organization that opposes personhood, and it advocates only regulations and promoting politicians with exceptions. So that's what's going on. But personally, I've gone through the training resources at American Right to Life's website, and I've become completely convinced that our regulations and exceptions have destroyed the hope for pro-life victory over the last 30 years, and we need to advocate personhood. And so I'm doing that in every way I can, sort of undercover here in this major pro-life ministry. And thank God, we are training activists and leaders. One by one, we're winning that battle, so we will wrest back control of the pro-life movement so that it is once again a pro-life ministry, and it's indebted to God and to obey God. Pragmatic politics, yeah, but pragmatic means what works, and what the pro-life movement does, disobeying God for 30 years, they've done what doesn't work. Okay, now, let's go first to Fort Collins. Beverly, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. How about Gordon?
This is Gordon.
All right, Gordon, do you know Beverly up in Fort Collins?
No.
All right. Well, she's upset. We just took her out of turn.
Hey, I just wanted to say I read your Calvinist debate against, was it Larry Bird? Is that right?
Dr. Larry Bray is the president of the North American Reform Seminary. And yes, we had a debate on Facebook. And so, Gordon, it was a seven-day debate. Is Calvinism biblical? What was your take on it?
Well, I've decided to become a Calvinist now.
You have?
No, it was excellent. I was a little discouraged that Dr. Larry Bray couldn't put up a better fight. But especially your last two posts, oh my goodness, they were fantastic.
Well,
the last one was just unbelievable. It just destroyed the whole argument, showed it for what it is.
Wow.
Really, I think it's going to bring a lot of people around. Are you going to be putting that someplace else?
Well, it's a private debate, basically, because even though it's between two public figures, it was on Facebook at the page of a Calvinist Christian believer who... he has about 5,000 friends, so a lot of people have seen it like you have, but I don't know. We'll investigate whether or not we can make it more public. But, Gordon, let me share this much with the audience. Many Christians have bought into this idea that the future is eternally settled, and it feels sort of comforting for some people to think that. that everything that happens, you know, if your toilet backs up, it's because it was part of an eternal plan decreed from before the foundation of the earth.
Right.
But when they bought into that, I think most Christians didn't realize that they're also buying into the idea that the future is settled for God also, and that today it is taught, it is believed that God cannot ever have a new thought. He cannot be creative, that he has exhausted his creative ability, all the creativity that could ever be expected from God or that he would ever expect from himself has all been expended. He's done creating.
Right.
And I believe that's extremely against the teachings of the God of the Bible, and that God is eternally free and eternally creative. And if he were no longer creative, that would be a dramatic change in God. You want to talk about putting God in a box and limiting God. Imagine limiting God to the point where you say God could never write a new song because
right.
he's done. Well, he's not done. He can't be done. He's God.
No, he's infinitely creative. And I thought your point about C.S. Lewis was fantastic. I love C.S. Lewis, and I feel so sorry that he had to have had that difficult relationship with God, thinking that God could not actually love him.
Well, here's how he put it in his book, Miracles. You see, when people systematize theology, they tend to become overly focused on mathematical equations, on quantitative philosophical concepts like how much and how little. So how much power, how much knowledge, how much presence, those are the omnis, omnipotent,
right.
omniscience, and omnipresence. And then the how little emotion does God have, and how little change does he have, and they're the ims, immutability and impassibility. And so C.S. Lewis had been taught, not from the Bible, but from theologians, that God has no passion, no emotion. So he wrote in his book, Miracles, he wrote that God cannot be affected by love. And that's somewhat startling.
Yeah.
Because you don't find that in the Bible. I mean, the two greatest commands Jesus said are love God and love your neighbor. And to say that God cannot be affected by love, when he was so taken with Abraham, who trusted God, even at the risk of losing his only son. So that kind of love and commitment that Abraham had to God, and to say that God cannot be affected by love. And then,
right.
Gordon, of course, the millions of Christians who say if the future is settled, then why pray? Well, that question, why pray, arises in millions of minds because they've been taught that everything is settled in God's mind.
Right. Why do anything trying to bring you into a closer relationship with God? Whatever's going to happen with your relationship is already predetermined. You can't change it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to thank you, Gordon. Any last thought or comment?
Well, one last thing I did want to bring up was just about your Mount Moriah video.
Yeah.
I got that, or DVD, I should say. I got that for a friend of mine, or I actually gave him my copy, just before Easter, because he didn't really understand what Good Friday was or anything really significant about the whole resurrection. And he understood the resurrection of Christ, and he is a new Christian, but he doesn't have a lot of knowledge on it. So when I started just kind of giving him a couple little things that I learned from the DVD, he was just amazed, so I gave it to him, and he was just astounded. So I would still go ahead, and I would urge any of your listeners right now, if they can, to get a copy of Mount Moriah, because phenomenal.
Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection, we have that on a DVD, and we mailed that DVD to a Muslim from Chicago, Sydney. We talked to him last week for two shows, and Lord willing, we'll be talking to him again this week. And so hopefully he'll watch that DVD before we talk again. But it is really fun. For the unbeliever, it has the chance of bringing them to salvation, For the Christian, it strengthens their faith and teaches us so much more about the evidence for Christ's resurrection.
Absolutely. It was just fantastic. And,
all right.
He's got a lot of it. So I just wanted to say that, and God bless you guys for all your work on personhood.
Thank you so much, Gordon. May God bless you. All right, that was fun. And now let's go to Fort Collins. Beverly, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
I'm not going to share any home remedies because I can't afford it.
All right. Hey, it's working. It's working.
But for a couple of minutes, I'll say a few words and spare you the vocal exercise.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyways, you might have gotten my message over the weekend. I wanted to thank you for your pamphlet that you wrote on Nicer Than God.
Nicer Than God. We also have that in an audio CD and a downloadable seminar, Beverly. Nicer
really?
Than God. Yeah, at kgov.com. People click on the store. They go to our Bible studies, our seminars, and there it is, Nicer Than God. It's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, and thought-provoking. And I already left you a message concerning this, but I wanted to call and say it because I wanted other people to hear about the Nicer Than God message that you have, because it's very good. And when I called you Saturday and left a message, I said, I just read it and I've repented.
Oh, wow. Well, that's encouraging, Beverly.
Yes, it is.
Hey, let me ask you, you live up in Fort Collins. Do you listen to the radio show over the air?
Yes.
And do you live in southern Fort Collins?
Yeah, I would say southern because it's almost in Loveland.
Okay, yeah, because here at AM 670 KLTT, this is the most powerful Christian radio station in the country.
Right.
It's at 50,000 watts.
Right.
And it covers most of the population of Colorado. And we even occasionally I got a wonderful letter and support for our church, Denver Bible Church, from Kansas, Coldwater, Kansas, just on Friday.
Awesome.
But we get listeners and sometimes callers, people sending letters and emails and support from Nebraska, Kansas, and even Oklahoma once in a while.
That's cool.
And a lot of Colorado, but pretty much we don't get further north than southern Fort Collins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, depending on the lay of the land. You know, there
are. Well, I'm glad that I'm in the right spot.
Yeah, I am too.
Mainly, especially because I don't have a computer.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled.
So I'd be really stuck.
I'm thrilled that you're able to listen on the air. And Beverly, the Nicer Than God teaching, and again, it's available. People who can go online could just Google Nicer Than God or go to nyart.com or kgov.com or show website and look for Nicer Than God. And it's a teaching that helps to bring Christians back into the battle for the souls of men and for the soul, the heart and soul of our nation.
Uh-huh.
Because Christians have been deceived by so many cliches that we've been taken out of the battle in many ways that we're not even realizing.
That's right. I'm sure.
Yeah.
It would be very informative because I'm beginning to see that in so many different ways.
Yeah, the church has been wimpified. It's been really feminized.
Mm-hmm.
And many men in the pulpits behave as though they have to be tender and gentle and meek and mild
right. Almost
all the time.
Right.
It's as though women have taken over the body of Christ.
I've heard that so many times. Just in the last week, I've heard it a couple of times.
You have. And you know what?
A couple of stations.
And you know what, Beverly? I love women.
Oh,
my
I'm
wife,
sure
my mother, my daughter-in-law, my granddaughter. I love women, and God has given women tremendous ability,
right.
But he didn't say that women should lead an army.
That's right.
Or lead the body of Christ, because there are differences that God put in men and women, and we need women to complement men. But when men become like women, it's just as bad as if women become like men.
I know.
Then
I know.
You lose something vital and feminist. They tell women that unless you're like a man, you're no good.
When you think about it, both of those things you're talking about equal identity crises.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You're exactly right. And feminism has so destroyed women, literally teaching them, unless you could compete like a man, act like a man, work like a man, you're no good. And boy, how do you come up with a better weapon against women and being confident in who they are and their own identity than that kind of a lie? Hey, Beverly, thanks for bringing up Nicer Than God.
You are welcome. Thanks for writing it.
I appreciate that. You're welcome.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, it's too late to call in. But if you'd like to get this seminar, Nicer Than God, I think you'll be thrilled. In fact, we offer a money-back guarantee for all of our materials, DVDs and MP3 CDs, books, the plot, our debate, Does God Exist? Our debate on the future, is the future settled or open? I got to do that debate, a 10-round moderated debate with D. James Kennedy's professor of New Testament at Kennedy Seminary in Florida. And so we have so many fun topical DVDs, Bible study albums, and you could call us 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, and check out our MP3 CD. You just pop it into your computer or your DVD player or an MP3 player, and you listen to a seminar, a fun Bible seminar called Nicer Than God. And there's so many other neat materials. And if you're interested in that topic that Gordon brought up of predestination and free will, if you're interested in that, and then the bigger picture, is the future settled or open? We have many resources on that topic, including that fun debate called Battle Royale 10, is the future settled or open? And is God eternally free and eternally creative? Or has he exhausted his creative ability? We believe here at Bob and Yurt Live that God can write a new song. And by the way, that makes a lot of Christians upset with us. But God can write a new song. He can do it. We can trust him. He can do it. Hey, we're out of time. 800-8-NYARDS. And we'll have to get into the biblical role of government on another show at KGov.com.